This has been an important week to consider what constitutes terrorism in the nation of Pakistan. While the nation has seemed more or less united in outrage over the attack on the Peshawar school on Monday, there has been considerable soul-searching within Pakistan over whether terrorist groups are tolerated by certain politically powerful factions inside Pakistan. And certainly, that question is raised once again as a Pakistani court granted bail to a senior commander with Lashkar-e-Taiba. Zakir Rahman Lakhvi. Lakhvi was released on a bond of about $5,000, even though he is considered to be, and accused of being, in fact, behind the Mumbai terror attack, a four-day violent siege on India's most populous city that left 164 people dead and more than 300 wounded 6 years ago. Prosecutors in Pakistan are appealing the grant of bail, and up until now, Lakhvi remains in a high-security prison in Rawalpindi. Akbar Ahmed is chair of the Islamic Studies Department at American University and Pakistan's former ambassador to the United Kingdom. He's also the author of The Thistle and the Drone, How America's War on Terror Became a Global War on Tribal Islam. Akbar Ahmed, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you, John. Great to be back.
So how upsetting is this to people within India and even within Pakistan that this grant of bail should take place?
It is very upsetting. In India, the reaction has been predictably anger, surprise, the feeling that Pakistan can't be trusted, that this man who is so blatantly involved in one of these terrible, terrible crimes in Mumbai has been sitting in jail. The case is still dragging. And then five, 6 years later, he gets bail. At the same time, in Pakistan, my sense is, John, that people are in such a state of shock right now. And we need not connect the two things, the massacre in Peshawar, which killed almost 150 people, including so many children, and this particular bail, because the bail was given by an anti-terrorist court. These have been set up specifically to deal with terrorist cases, and they take their own sweet time. They're quite independent, so it's very difficult for government to intervene. Now, the reaction of the government to Pakistan is interesting because they are now appealing against the decision of this particular court. That's number one. And number two, there is a mood now after the Peshawar massacre in Pakistan to deal firmly and unequivocally with the terrorists. So I think the mood has changed very much and would affect a case like Mr. Zakirullah's case.
Well, if the appeal is successful and he goes back into prison, and if what you're saying is correct, that there is a greater clarity in Pakistan, it would certainly strike at something that has been very, very difficult for Pakistan really for the last two decades, and that is understanding a sense of consistency regarding terrorism. There are so many threats surrounding Pakistan and within Pakistan that it's always seemed to me that there's been a different way of judging terrorism inside India, terrorism that's involved in Afghanistan, terrorism that strikes within Pakistan. There's all these nuanced different kinds of groups, Lashkar-e-Taiba, Taliban Afghanistan, Taliban Pakistan. And you're saying that this may be a sea change and that there will be a much clearer sense that terrorism is over the line regardless of the ideology of the group.
Yes, because, John, you use the word nuance. We have to understand that Pakistan is partly a tribal society. A lot of the tribes live on both sides of the border, Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's also a very sophisticated urban society. It's also an agricultural society. And all these different societies mesh and overlap and are juxtaposed. And within that, you'll have people who would be horrified by any acts of terror. Then you'll have people who'll say, well, the people involved were tribal, they were cousins, so we need to be lenient or look the other way. That is why you see this inconsistency of policy. But what this strike in Peshawar has done has literally shaken the nation. And the mood now is grim. And I hope there is now a consistency in terms of policy and, more important, in terms of a method to deal with this kind of terrorism. Now, I'm hearing the new commander-in-chief, for example, actually talking about hanging or executing the terrorists who are already in captivity. I'm hearing a senior general saying, shoot all 20,000 of the captives in jail and so on. So this is the kind of emotion you're seeing, which did not exist last week, for example. Even the Prime Minister said that I'm going to now deal with them very, very sternly. Now, for him also, this is a change because his party, the Muslim League, tended to be or was seen to be softer on the Taliban than other parties. So these are indications that Pakistan is going to now start taking this threat very seriously and recognize that it's not all about the United States, that this is a problem that is Pakistan's problem and it must be solved. It cannot go on like this, or the state itself is in danger of unraveling.
Well, that's really the question for the rest of the world observing Pakistan. Is this a fork in the road? Will it change a sense of inconsistency regarding terrorism? Or will it perpetuate a sense of tribal revenge? And part of the emotion that you describe here, we're going to get serious, we're going to shoot all 20,000, could actually continue a sense of tribal revenge that actually fuels the inconsistency if there isn't a sense of sort of civic order that's sort of brought in here to supersede that tribal emotion.
Well, John, my friend, you put your finger on it, because this, as you know, is the thesis of my book, that in fact, what you're seeing is very tribal. You have the Taliban, who are straight tribals, and you have the Pakistan army involved as their main adversary in the field, who are not tribal. And you're seeing both act exactly as if they were involved in a tribal conflict. And the theme of revenge, attack, counterattack, revenge is very, very important. When this strike took place, I was in Copenhagen. The next morning, the Taliban issued a statement saying, this is in revenge for the operations in North Waziristan. Now, you're absolutely right. When that strike took place, the army acted in anger. They sent in the planes, they bombarded the tribal areas, they declared so many dozens killed. And you are now going to expect the Taliban to strike, and they will strike at a soft spot. This is dreadful because they're actually targeting children, women, mosques, churches. It's complete madness. But you cannot afford this constant cycle of violence. This has to stop, and the government has to have a reasoned, balanced, long-term policy to completely contain and then eradicate the problem.
Akbar Ahmed is chair of the Islamic Studies Department at American University and Pakistan's former ambassador to the United Kingdom, author of The Thistle and the Drone, How America's War on Terror Became a Global War on Tribal Islam. Akbar, always a delight to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.